Our understanding is the nature and the scope of this study is based on Oklahoma, and so we want to talk about what we can do beef labeling regarding Oklahoma. It's against federal law to enact a specific labeling process within state that would segment beef, pork, chicken, anything like that by country of origin, so or any other. So it's against federal law to do that in state. So the country of origin labeling discussion is, from a mandated standpoint, is more of a federal discussion. With that being said, though, we do want to explore an opportunity to label a product here in Oklahoma that's voluntary based. Our membership has long been very supportive of labels, origin-based, marketing-based labels that would help cattlemen distinguish their product and receive and earn the value of that product, whether it's based on whatever kind of quality marker it may be based on, how it's raised, how it's bred, Angus, Hereford, etc., whatever the case may be. We can have that discussion later, Representative Pfeiffer, on Angus versus Hereford quality. Nonetheless, but we've long been supporters of that. We do not support mandatory labeling. We do not support coming to the government and asking the government to do that. We would prefer to do that, and we've seen those types of programs be successful. And so here in Oklahoma, again, that's what we're looking at. And so we've created a task force. We've gone through the process and continuing to do the process to explore the question that the good representative from the Panhandle just asked about, let's do that. And so we're in the middle in the process of doing it. There's a couple of other states that have explored and done this, so we're not the first. Most of the states, I will tell you, that we've spoke with have tried and abandoned the process, and I'll talk a little bit about why. One state that has gone through and has created a program and that we've had great discussion with and we've learned a lot with and will continue to have discussion with is Kentucky. Kentucky has a very good program. They're currently processing 15 head of cattle a week at this point in time. That's very small. But to those 15, to the owners of those 15 individual head, it's pretty important. And so they've been able to see some value added in their process. And so we've gone to Kentucky and asked, rather than try to reinvent the wheel, what can we learn? What can we to bring that into Oklahoma? The Kentucky beef program is totally based off ground beef. And so that's our model to begin with, is start with ground beef. If we can go from there, that's great. But that's the easiest product to deal with at this point in time based on their input and their experience. Part of the biggest challenge that we've come up against is processing. We just don't have the volume of processing here in Oklahoma. As I talk to consumers and share the great story of beef cattle in the state of Oklahoma, we have some of the best registered cattle in the world in the state of Oklahoma, Angus included. We have some of the best commercial cow-calf processors. We stock our cattle better than anybody else in the countryside, thanks in part to our friends in the wheat business and native and improved forages. We're not the number one feeder state in terms of feedlots, but we are in the top 10. And we have a fair number of consumers. Not a lot of consumers, but a fair number. What we don't have in all that is a packing industry. And so the processing side of creating a label is a challenge, especially if we want the label to say born, raised, and processed in Oklahoma. So that is a challenge because it bottlenecks so much. And so we continue to explore that, and we're going to. We're in communication with some processors, and learned of another one just last week that is interested in working with us. We're going to continue to do that. Most importantly but very importantly as well, is working with our friends in the grocer industry. We can create a product, but if you can't sell it, if nobody will buy it from you, then you've really not done anything. And so we've sat down with our friends in the Grocers Association and specifically a few key companies. They've been able to help us facilitate those discussions and to talk with them about, do you have an interest in this? Would your consumers have an interest in this? Would you buy it from us if we did this? And their answer to us is we're very interested and we want to go with you. Now, we're not asking anyone, let me be clear, we're not asking anyone for any investment at this point in time because we're still in the exploration mode. It took Kentucky They told me it took them 20 years to develop their label. They really started fast-tracking in the past 2.5 years. So we're in this for the long haul, and so we have no illusions to think that we'll create something tomorrow, but we do want to try to continue moving down that road. I say all that to share this with you, that it's a partnership of everyone within the beef industry to work together on this. That's the goal that we're moving forward to and wanting to try to achieve. We may not succeed. I don't know. I hope so. One of the things I think the challenge will be is the consumer demand for Kentucky beef is, I have no thinking that it's the same as Oklahoma demand for Oklahoma beef. What do I mean by that? The two largest markets in Kentucky are very different. Those urban markets are very different than our urban markets. And one of the things that Kentucky told us is their product is selling pretty well in urban markets. It sells hardly at all in rural markets. And so they have a challenge there. And so, again, we're trying to learn from them. I'm not saying that's what will happen in Oklahoma. I'm not saying it's what won't happen. I'm just saying it's something we're trying to learn from and understand. But Oklahoma City and Tulsa are not the same as the two largest markets in Kentucky. And so maybe they're better. We just haven't gotten that far down the road yet. So we'll continue to work on that. We appreciate the opportunity to work on that on our behalf. We don't see the need to mandate a label by any stretch of the means because we would rather do that and then achieve the value on our own. So with all due respect to you all, thank you for cheering us along, but don't pass a law that mandates something on us in that sense. Cattlemen pretty traditionally don't like mandates. We're a pretty independent lot, and so we'd rather try to work and carve and do this on our own, and that's the road that we're going down. So wanted to share that update with you regarding this, specific to the topic of the study itself and here in Oklahoma. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
I do have one, maybe more of a statement than anything else. I, too, have had a conversation with the grocers, the retail market, and also some tribal entities as well. The discussion leads back to the MIO, Made in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Label. And so that's a market that's out there being produced or being pushed through the Department of Ag. With your discussions of some of the retailers and stuff, does that seem to be where they feel like they want to go? Because they talk, and for me, I'm talking with them, it seems to be their MIO, they like that market. I mean, we've seen that market. Mm-hmm. We see a big push of that, obviously, at the state fairs. But it seems to be a growing and expanding market. So in your discussions, because your discussions are obviously a little different than what mine would be with the retail side, what are they saying as far as the MIO perspective of it?
The conversations that we've had with retailers regarding MIO has been incredibly positive. They are very positive towards the Made in Oklahoma program. You all know this, but MIO branches and covers a lot of different products, not just beef products. It's important also to remember that the Made in Oklahoma is a processed type program. So in other words, you can go to Ralph's and buy some awesome beef jerky, great beef jerky, and it has the Made in Oklahoma label on it because it is made in Oklahoma, but that beef's not from Oklahoma. And so now, is that bad? Is that good? It's great beef jerky, and it's made in Oklahoma. And so I think we should promote that, and I'm thankful that we have a company not too far from here that does that. And so why do I share that? Because our restrictions on our label, our specifications on our label may or may not match specifically to MIO, but I think there's an opportunity for us to work with them and partner with them because they have such great success and they have such good net brand recognition that I think we'd be crazy not to at least have conversations with them to see how we might be able to tailor in.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Brewer.
I was shocked to hear you say 20 years.
Yeah.
Do you legitimately think it would take 20 years in Oklahoma?
Great question. No, I don't. Because, number one, we're learning from Kentucky. So we have the benefit of learning from the missteps that they took, the advantage, the opportunities that they realized, and then able to capitalize on. So no, I don't believe it will at all. The reason I shared that is this: it's not an easy process. I also don't want to, I want to emphasize, we're not going to roll out a program next year. In fact, I'm not sure we'd roll out a program in 2 or 3 years. You just have to secure a lot of things. We're awesome at raising cattle. We're not really good at marketing beef. Now, the exception to that rule would be Mr. Payne. Does a fantastic job of marketing beef. But for the most part, we can tell you exactly how to raise four-legged critters. But then the challenge comes is we don't sell four-legged critters to consumers. We sell pieces and parts and segments. And why is the export market so important? Because I don't want to eat liver. I don't. But I also don't want to grind it up for dog food. I'd rather achieve the greatest value that we can. And in Egypt, liver is a delicacy, and they will buy craters of it from us. I'm not a big fan of tongue. I'll eat a tongue taco every now and again, and I have been accused of foot and mouth disease. So, but I just don't. But in Japan, they're a delicacy, especially certain ones of certain color, just the pigment in the tongue. I went to OSU, but I can do that math. Let's ship those boogers to Japan. And so when we start talking about exports and imports, it's more important in our mind to talk about value and to talk about specific product. When you start talking about just pounds, well, pounds of what? Because we don't sell to the consumer a four-legged critter. We sell them a ribeye steak or a piece of brisket or something along those. That's what we sell to the consumer. But we sell a four-legged critter to the next person or entity in line. And just to be honest with you, we're just really not good grocers. I'm so glad we have great friends in the grocery industry that will go with us and help us understand that.
Thank you. Representative Trey Caldwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question to you, Mr. Kelsey, is with the advent of all the advertising and stuff and the Impossible Beef and stuff like that, can you kind of, do you have any information on how, what kind of percentage we think going forward that is going to try to cut into beef sales in the United States and here in Oklahoma?
I appreciate you asking that question. Boy, that's a big topic within our industry right now is the Impossible Burger from, I'll just pick on Burger King for a moment. By the way, if you eat a hamburger, and if you didn't know this, you need to know this. If you eat a hamburger in McDonald's, it was processed right here in Oklahoma. If you eat a hamburger in a McDonald's in an 8-state area within Oklahoma, you eat a hamburger that was processed in Oklahoma. Not necessarily raised, certainly not packed, but processed in Oklahoma. There's an entity right outside west of here called Lopez Foods that does a marvelous job. We've actually been in communication with them on our product. We ask them, tell us about these plant-based products. Do we need to worry about that as an industry? Are they going to market share in on us? What do we need to do? Their answer was extremely interesting based upon they don't see, at least from a McDonald's standpoint, and McDonald's hasn't introduced a plant-based burger at this point in time. The Whopper, the Impossible Whopper is interesting. I'm going to tell you right now, I've not had one. I don't plan on having one. Just be up front. There is a little piece of me, though, that in total honesty would like to try one just to say, I wonder what this thing tastes like. But I just can't do it. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. Burger King has fed us some interesting data because one of our questions to them is, why are you doing this? You're known for your flame-broiled hamburgers. Why are you doing this? And so they've reported back to us, and I'll just share the information they share. The sales of their Impossible Whoppers going up. And we would expect that. You've introduced a new product. There's a lot of sizzle, no pun intended, over it. And so sales will go up a little bit. But they've also reported that their beef sales has gone up at the same time. Not at the same level, but up. Okay, why is that? This is their data. So 4 or 5 people get together, say, hey, let's go grab some lunch. We're in a hurry. Burger King's right down the road. One of them says, I can't do that. I'm a vegetarian. And so then they go somewhere else. All five of them go somewhere else. Now, all five of them can go to Burger King, and they can all eat a hamburger. The four eat a beef-based burger. The other one eats a plant-based burger. Nobody sticks out. Nobody feels embarrassed, etc. That's what Burger King's telling us. All I know is their beef sales are going up, and I am really happy about that. So is the Impossible Whopper a threat? You bet it is. But I think what we need to do is work on making sure the consumer understands the quality, the consistency, and the value of our product. Let's advertise to the consumer who we are, and that is we're the best. You want the best, come get some beef.
Representative Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate your optimism, and I do think there's some things we can learn from Kentucky. On average, though, I mean, just with my personal experience with certified Angus beef, it usually takes about 20 years to get a branded beef program.
It sure might.
But my question was, as this cell-based meat and plant-based meat kind of takes off, what are we doing not only at a state level but at a federal level to address these issues?
Thank you. I appreciate that question. So last year we passed a bill. We worked on, you all passed a bill, 392. Representative Hassenbach led that. Representative Sanders also was key in that discussion on the House side. The purpose and the intent of that bill was to protect the integrity of our name. So that's one key piece of this discussion is we want to make sure that if somebody puts, we're not going to mandate a label. We don't like that. But if you're going to put the label on it, beef, then it must be beef. And that's what the intent and purpose of that bill is. Been in communication with Representative Hassenbach, and she has generously given, we need to do some tweaking on that. We've had some great conversation about that. One is we need to move all of it into Title II. Over to the Department of Ag. That's that makes it much simpler to regulate that. And so those are some things that we'll be working on this next session, and we look forward to that leadership and working with you on that. We appreciate you doing that. We've also worked on the federal level, though, to make sure not only the labeling process, and forgive me for going into a federal issue now, but I think it's important for you to understand this, to not only on the labeling side, but also on the production side. One of the things about cell-based cultured meat is if you look at the science behind it, as they grow that product in a laboratory environment, there's an opportunity for a lot of other things to grow in competition to the cell-based or to the muscle cells. And so how do you keep those types of things from growing? You use antimicrobials, antibiotics. Some of the initial research we've seen indicates that cell-based or cell-cultured product uses way more antibiotics than we would ever think about using in the production of beef. We think it's important that that be regulated. We think that's because we're regulated based upon what we use in our industry, as well as if they're going to label that product, they must label it accurately. So lots of discussion about that and something that we need to continue to work on. A lot of that's going to be federal, though. We have to do that on a federal basis.
For a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just don't you find it slightly ironic that people who are deathly afraid of GMOs, which we've had since seedless watermelons, are perfectly okay with meat and cell-based meat and plant-based meat grown in labs? Doesn't that just blow your mind and frustrate you to no get out?
Frustrates, but when have consumers ever been consistent? I mean, we for instance, on this issue itself, we'll talk to consumers and say, do you want U.S. labeled beef? Do you want a label on your product that says U.S. beef? Absolutely. You walk them and follow them into the grocery store, and they pay no attention to that when they buy the product. They simply use price. Before we start criticizing them, we do the same thing. Call up the feed store. We want our minerals. What's the price of your minerals? We do the same thing. We value price. And so before I'm critical of consumers, I also have to recognize I am one. But consumers are not consistent. So what a great opportunity for those that are willing to pay for it, the value of it, we'll provide it for them. But we just don't want it mandated on everybody. And so that's our philosophy. Let us provide the value to those that are willing to pay for it, and then we'll recognize that value. And we've seen that throughout our history.